Author's note. For this book, I interviewed 100 women entrepreneurs, as well as non-binary entrepreneurs, between July 2017 and January 2020, with follow-ups in early 2020. Startups are fast-moving, so details on the companies and founders here may have changed in the meantime. Most of the available research and data on entrepreneurship examine only women and men. For this reason, this book primarily focuses on people who identify as women, cisgender and transgender, but it's important to note that the hurdles faced by women tend to be shared by gender-expansive people too. Finally, while gender is the focus, my aim in these pages is to show how other identities, such as race, class, and sexual orientation, also play a significant role in someone's entrepreneurial experience. Introduction. Christina Harbridge thinks women entrepreneurs are a lot like women political candidates. She should know, she works with both. They often discount their own qualifications, especially when they're just starting out. People tend to define them in terms of their family relations. She's a mom, rather than their professional life. And they have to be better than men, probably way better, just to have a chance to compete. Harbridge's San Francisco-based company, Allegory, coaches entrepreneurs, executives, and others to be better leaders and communicators. She also volunteers for Emerge, a nationwide organization that recruits Democratic women to run for political office and trains them how to win. She remembers one particular woman vying for a statewide position of Democratic Party chair. She got super passionate about something and she was told to calm down, Harbridge tells me. And the guy she was running against pounded his fist on the table in anger and no one said anything. There was plenty of evidence of a double standard on the campaign trail leading up to the 2020 presidential election. Questions about U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren's likability, or lack thereof, repeatedly popped up. CNN political analyst David Gergen, bristling at the way she seemed to have a plan for everything, complained that Warren has a hectoring quality. U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar noted that a woman with a political resume as skimpy as that of Pete Buttigieg, her fellow candidate and the former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, would not have been taken seriously. We have to work harder, and that's a fact, she said during one of the debates. Women entrepreneurs going after funding get similar treatment. Different setting, different stakes, but the assumptions are the same. These funders use language with women that they would never say to a guy, says Harbridge. I've sat in rooms and heard it. It doesn't sound like you're ready. And this is like a 35-year-old woman who's done all this stuff. Then they look at a 20-year-old guy with an idea in the garage and say, oh my God, you're so ahead of your time. It's really fascinating. Early in her career, Harbridge showed how a woman's insight can fundamentally change the way a business operates. In the late 1980s, while a college student in Northern California, she needed to get a full-time job that would help pay her father's medical expenses, his Parkinson's disease was worsening, and still allow her to take classes at night. She answered an ad for a collector, not even knowing what it was. She thought maybe it had to do with antiques. She got hired as a file clerk at what turned out to be a debt collection agency. On her first day, the people she encountered in the break room were some of the nicest she'd ever met. But she was shocked when she walked out onto the floor for the first time. My hands shook, listening to people on the phone being just so cruel to people, she tells me. I thought, why are they doing it this way? There should be a collections unit that collects debts by being nice. Once she had the idea, she couldn't let go of it. In her early 20s, she launched a firm with the idea of making it the world's first